What? I'm sorry.
November 15th, 2018, Board of Equalization. Okay, we have everyone in attendance. It is 8:59. On November 15th, 2018, the Board of Equalization. We have four petitions with the same ownership. We will begin with the first one, and then we will just proceed from one into the next, and we will announce which petition is completed and the next one that we are moving on to at the time. We have the beginning of petition BE 2018-38. Parcel number 11375-0040, and taxpayer is Glenn and Carol Knopp. Mr. Knopp is present to represent for the two of them. And then we have Nikki Morgan, who is here from the assessor's office, and representing the assessor's office. So this is for residential. And so these petitions are scheduled to last 20 minutes. The appellant and the appraiser will each have 5 minutes to highlight points of the evidence that they have provided, and the board has reviewed that evidence. The last 10 minutes will be held for rebuttal and questions from the board. And the same with you, Mr. Knopf. You may also, you know, have questions or bring up some points in addition after the appraiser is done. Okay, so the chairman, Linda Mays, she will begin.
Good morning, Mr. Knopf, and welcome to the Franklin County Board of Equalization. The board members are Alicia Greenaway, Joel Christ, and myself, Linda Mays, as chairman. Our clerk is Shirley Jones. The board is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers that are to some extent judicial, as those of certain federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. Our role is to review the facts presented by both parties and determine the market value of the property as of January 1st of the assessment year. The law grants a presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the petitioner to prove the assessment is incorrect. The hearing will be recorded and all testimony is under oath. Our clerk will ask you now to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath.
Do each of you who will be testifying today affirm that the testimony you will give will be the truth?
I do.
Yes. Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh the evidence and make a final determination. We will issue a written decision to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals, and a notice of the appeal opportunity will be at the bottom of the written decision. The board is in receipt of all documentary data provided by you and the assessor, and we have reviewed it. You will present your case first, and then the assessor will present her case. So please start with your case, Mr. Knopf.
Okay. First case petition BE 2018-38. As I reviewed that and discussions with Nikki on site, I agree with her assessment of the value on that one, so that's going to be, I'm not disputing that at this point. Somehow I didn't communicate that.
Okay, any other comments on that? Okay.
Okay, this concludes then petition BE 2018-38 for parcel 11375-0040. The next petition that we will present is petition BE 2018-39. This is for parcel 11377-1037. And again, ownership, Glenn and Carol Knopf.
You can start, Mr. Knopf.
Information I had regarding that one should have been all put together, but it was
it's confusing when you have more than one piece.
The simple people, especially. Okay, let's see. parcel. Be sure I know which parcel it is here.
Ends in 1037.
Yes. That one is the 1.74 acres that is on the front side of George Road, I believe. And that property is split with an easement in the middle. So it's got an access to it in the middle. And you see that parcel is very narrow and long, so in kind of a practical sense, that's what the would have very few uses, as well as the fact that it's also very low there, and, which means that for a commercial operation to go in there, they would need to put a pumping station and get the water up to the level of the sewer. That was in discussion. I think Dave McDonald, you the time to zoom for the mining department, is that?
For the city.
For the city, okay. So the city, when they looked at it, like they said, that, and this was probably 6-7 years ago, that we need to have a pumping station. In that, because of the low area, the only documentation I was able to there were just pencil notes made in the meeting. But later there was a reference that in a meeting with Tippett, where somebody expressed an interest in getting information here, and there's sewer manhole 7 foot deep. Presumption is that we would have to confirm it with gravity from site. If it does install under this manhole under a rate tenders agreement, the presumption is that it won't. And that's what we had gotten from them too. And so at the time, there was discussion about what it might cost, and they said it would cost $500,000 to put in that pumping station. So I just have that as I don't have any documented numbers saying this is exactly what it would cost, because we haven't gone to that level given that the property hasn't sold in the time that we had listed. If we had some serious buyer, we would pursue further. So those are my arguments on that parcel.
Okay, Nikki.
Ratio for assessed value to sales price is 96%. Page 6 is a list of the subject properties. The subject for this parcel is the one ending in 1037, so it's indicated in a blue color. 1.74 acres, valued at $147,300. So price per square foot is $1.94. It does have access off of Lewis Street. And was taken into consideration that it had limited visibility from the highway. I gave you a list of comparable sales down below and indicated the most comparable with access, size, and all of that, the same blue color below, which sold for $1.90, but it sold back in 2015. So no time adjustments were done on these. We just know that if we do sales from previous years, that if they come in close to where we are, that we know we do time adjustments when the market is going down, so that we can err on the side of the taxpayer and make sure that we follow it down. When the market is going up, we don't necessarily rub salt in the wound of the assessed value by doing the time adjustments for previous years. So the fact that it was 4 cents lower, we're not too concerned about that. There are plenty of other sales that are also industrial, and the one right above it is an acre, 1.51 acres, and it sold for $1.80 a square foot in 2017, and so on. So those are there for your review. Overall, with all of the industrial sales considered comparable, the average price per square foot is $1.95. So an average selling price of $1.95 over the last 4 years, and the subject property is valued at $1.94. There are two sales maps on the following pages. There's a board member's comparable map and then a southern comparable map. So they do compare to all the industrially zoned commercial property. And of course, they want the more inside and proximity to the freeway would be the most comparable. So that's there for your review. So page 8 is the indicator for the subject property is down in the southern portion below the freeway. Page 9 is our industrial land curve that we use to set values for the entire area. Just take into consideration all of those sales that I referenced before and put on the land curve. So, of course, the smaller the lot, the higher in value per square foot. And as the lot gets bigger, you're dealing with some excess land issue, margin of decreasing utilities, and so very lower per square foot. That's the land curve that was used to set the value per square foot of all industrial properties. In Mr. Knopf's discussion with me, we did talk about the fact that some of these parcels sat lower, and in our follow-up discussions after we stipulated on a couple, I had asked if you were able to get anything from the city. So did you follow up with them again, or are you just going off of the old? Okay.
Yeah, I just retrieved these from my, well, my email files and my files on the computer.
Okay.
So,
I would be willing to look at making an adjustment to these properties, but on the ones that have access and already have, so there's another parcel that we're going to talk about later that they already have access, maybe the slope off of the access street has already been mitigated with a gravel road or something like that. It's harder for me to say, well, that's obviously something I need to make an adjustment on. But if you can provide something from the city showing that it's either too narrow to build on industrially for the city's code, or something from the city just showing in an email or a map that it would be required to put in the pump or station or lift station, whatever is required, I would be more willing to take a look at it. When it's not obvious to me, I can't just put an adjustment on it. So if we can get that, then we can move forward on an adjustment. That would have to be for years going forward. At some point, they do cut us off for changing values for this year and next year's taxes. So the appeal process, the deadline is July 1st of each year, for 30 days from the date of the valuation change.
Okay. So you're looking at next year for this change?
Right, because I don't have anything.
Okay. Questions, anybody? I have questions.
I do, too. So, Nikki, did you take into effect that there's that easement in the middle of this piece of property?
No, because it's pretty common that the access and the easement, the driveway area, especially for a parcel of this shape, would, as long as it's there,
okay,
it gives them access to each side of the parcel.
And Mr. Knopf, do we know how much of this easement, what the size of the easement is, I guess, is what I'm trying to ask?
I don't know the documentation on that. I would say about it, it's probably about 50 feet.
Why?
Yeah.
And approximately how long?
Just the width of the parcel, which is maybe 100 feet, something like that.
Okay,
right. So, you can see it on my page 4, where the access is from Lewis Street.
Right.
So the length through the middle of the parcel and then the width of a road access.
So on page 4, what's the part you're talking about here?
The one outlining yellow.
Yeah.
The whole thing?
No. This skinny little thing right here.
Oh, the skinny little thing.
The bright yellow.
Okay,
yellow.
So this is the one.
So, Nikki, it looks like by the discontinuity and the perimeter at the very northern end, the tip, how it breaks there, is that probably what you're thinking might be the easement would run parallel to that west edge, kind of?
No, the access easement is right in the middle of the parcel from Lewis Street, where the gravel road has crossed the parcel.
Okay, because I was wondering if there was an easement associated with Lewis Street, because there's such a discontinuity there at the very northern end,
right,
the breaks.
Oh. Yeah.
It divides the parcel.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay, okay.
I have a question for Mr. Knopf. Where did you come up with the figure for your land value of $60,636?
I was going back to values of, like, across the road. There was recently a commercial, I think it's industrial, I'm not sure.
Do you have that in your documentation?
So I could show you, I actually have a picture of you too, if I find it.
Oh, I see. So if you get on this page here.
On the north side of the highway?
Yeah. So when you circled, this is $1.04?
Yeah.
Per square foot?
Yes.
And most? And more visible than the affected property?
Is that part of these, this list of comps that they're listed in the, you had a list of comps here? This, that one here, this list? $1.04. Seems like I saw something that was $1.04.
Hey, that's Nicky's.
Yeah, but he's got it on his. It's on his.
It is on
his.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's highlighted in gray, a little over halfway down. The parcel is 4.65 acres, so as we talked about
on
the land curve, there is significant sales evidence to indicate that the larger parcels are going to sell for less per square foot due to the size.
Hmm.
I would assume that would be true in the case of a property that was of a size that's suitable to build on. This parcel being 100 feet wide is not going to be very attractive to the typical person wanting to build a this type of building or something and still have parking moving around the building.
Have you ever considered consolidating the parcels
so
that you try to keep them separate?
I have thought about consolidating.
The reason I ask is when you go to sell it, if it's already parceled out, that assumes some of the development costs have already been incurred because it does cost money to segregate the parcels into pieces in a logical manner. Where if these weren't, and we could look at it as one big parcel, I can't speak to it because I haven't put it on the land curve as one big parcel, but I was wondering if there was a reason that you haven't. But if you look at it as one parcel, it may be valued overall at a less value per square foot.
Yeah, at this point, it's really hard. I haven't had anybody say, yes, I want to buy this, that parcel, or the whole bunch. It'd be nice if they buy the whole bunch, but I have options if I have seven parcels as opposed to one parcel. Don't have to divide it again at some point. So right now I'm just kind of taking it as it is. Yeah.
Hmm. So, Nikki, for next year, then, you mentioned the width limit from the city regarding as far as how much room you'd need to build on that?
Correct. If I have something in writing that it doesn't meet and, is zoned industrial right now, if there's something in writing that says that industrial properties have to be over this width to develop, then
okay, and then the other thing was a more developed cost estimate for what it would take to put in a pumping station.
Those are sure to be required.
Okay.
The cost would be spread out for all of these parcels, of course.
Okay.
So to recap, on this page here. Based on Mr. Knopf's valuation of $60,636, you took this piece of property right here based on $1.04 per square foot. And here's the affected piece of property across from, what street is that?
It's
Lewis. Lewis, okay. Why is the piece of property again at $1.04 valued less than Mr. Knopf's property? Why is that?
The size.
The size?
He's not looking at the value, he's looking at the sale price. And we would believe that the sale price was lower per square foot due to the size of the property. It's almost 5 acres.
How much was it?
Almost 5 acres.
Okay, so the lower the size of the property, the more valuable it is.
Correct.
First square
foot,
yes. Yeah. I got another.
Go ahead.
Nikki, it was a little bit of a jump from the previous to this year's, about 780% increase.
Yeah.
Can you explain that?
Yeah, overall, we were very, very low in this area, so we only come out physically inspect and take a very close look at land value with the appraisal staff that we have.
Mm-hmm.
We're only able to do that when it's in our inspection area. So at staff, while industrial prices in the area skyrocketed, and land values, we trended them up maybe 10% here or 5% there, but overall, it stayed pretty stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
When we got to it in our inspection area this year, we realized we were way off. So we did think that, I mean, you can look at the comparable sales that I've included and
mm-hmm.
see that the dollar amount per square foot is really close. So that's what we're trying to hit, 100% of market values where we are required to be by law. So
okay.
The jump was just due to the fact that we hadn't done it in 6 years, and maybe even when we were there 6 years ago, we didn't. We adjusted as we should have. It was significantly lower than where we needed it to be.
Okay.
And that was true for all the parcels, not just Mr. Knox.
But right.
Everyone has adjusted and trended according to the land group included.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any more questions?
Is the true market value based, in my sense, I've been on the market for several years and it hasn't sold, and so if I can't sell for a price like that, is that really established that it's the market value stuff because somebody in another location or somebody had a particular appetite for paying a certain price for a certain parcel because of its location? Does that necessarily mean that my property value should be based on that same level? Is that how it's
unclear what you listed it for. The listing wasn't included in your packet, was it?
No.
No. So I don't know when it was listed, and I don't know what it was listed for.
There's a general principle, I guess that's what
I don't know what you were trying to sell it for. So were you trying to sell it for more than what the assessed value was? Then that's really no indication that it's not worth what we have on it.
Okay. Any more questions?
No.
Okay. All right. This concludes petition BE 2018-39 for parcel 11377-1037. The next parcel that we will be looking at is with petition BE 2018-43, and that's parcel number 11378-0062.
Okay. Go ahead.
The time is 9:23. Okay. So on this parcel, given the values where they're at in terms of the property guys, I do believe this was discounted again because of the fact that most of this property is lower than what we could run the sewer system to the city for. I understand that the same thing would apply. It seems like that's a challenge I need to make for this next year, I don't have the documentation to make it prove that that's the case, so maybe turn that next year.
Anything else, Mr. Knopf?
No.
That's it?
Yeah.
All right, Nikki?
Okay. So So this parcel is 4.6 acres, also known as SS101, light industrial in the city of Castro. It has a 1,728 square foot air quality storage warehouse that was built in 1982. It had a 764 square foot materials all built behind it, attached to the same building. And then it did have a 672 square foot low quality, the greenhouse. Yeah, still have the office as well. Sorry.
There was one
that had the greenhouse on it. We'll get to that one, and it's been removed since the first of the year. So I removed it for value going forward, and I'm wanting to think this is that one. Okay. Pages 4, 5, and 6 are our cost approach in the Marshall and Swift evaluation service. So again, it's going to be 1,682. It doesn't have any HVAC. 16-foot tall, so you've got the breakdown there. The sketch on page 7 indicates the size and shape of the building. Each sheet is the photograph of the front of the building, and page 9 is the material shelter that's out behind. It's mostly just valued as a roof.
Yes.
Support to hold up. The mobile office is the following stage. This parcel is on page 11, which is a map indicating the parcel outline in the bright yellow color right there in front of it. So it has access. And whether you call it George Street or Avery Street, I'm not sure, but it's the street there just below the parcel. Our mapping system calls it Avery Street, but it looks like the city calls it George Street. So our cartographer is looking into that. But details, it is on a road that has legal access at this point. It, from my understanding, isn't a city road anymore maintained by the city, but it is still a paved access that has legal access right now. Page 12 is the commercial land ratio, which is in this area, indicating that the median ratio assessed value to sales prices are coming in at 96%. And then the list of subject parcels and comparable sales on page 13. This parcel is the one ending in 062, so it is in gray at the very bottom. It's the largest of the subject parcels at 4.68 acres, valued at $1.62 per square foot. It does have the street access, it's not on any material, and there's some visibility from US 12. I did indicate the most comparable in size down below in the same light gray color. The comparable that we just discussed on a previous parcel at 4.65 acres that sold for $1.04 square foot, and then the parcel at 4.7 acres that sold for $1.34 a square foot. And these differ slightly from the assessed value of the subject just due to when we put it on the industrial curve trend line, it's going to put it on according to where the sales fall and what's the most likely selling price of this size.
So and the years that those sold, the first one was 2017?
They're both 2017.
Okay. Right at the end of 2017.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So they're within a year.
They can be found the same maps down below, so the northern comparable sales are on page 14 and the southern comparable sales are on page 15 with the subject properties indicated in the lavender color and bumps in blue. So page 16 is that industrial curve trend line that we were discussing where you may see some, the dots indicate where the sales actually fell, some are above the line, meaning they sold for much more than the value that we put on it, and a few are below the trend line, meaning they sold for less than the value that we assigned to it. But the trend line estimates the most likely sales price at any given square foot. Then, just to speak to the improvements real quick, on page 17, we've got our commercial statistics for parcels that are approved with buildings and such, showing that our median assessed value to sales price ratio were at 94%. And then on page 18, I included some more storage warehouses and light commercial utility buildings, showing that an average sales price is $51 a square foot overall on this property type in this area. We're still only at 81% of the selling price. The subject properties are valued for the different sections, $28 a square foot, $2 a square foot for the material shelter out back, and then $21 a square foot for the relocatable. And then 19 is the map of the comparable improved sales that were used for the warehouse.
Any rebuttal, Mr. Knopf?
Yes, as I understand, by ours is valued at $1.62, and the most close comps would be $1.04 and $1.34.
Okay, so if you go to the very back, page 16, that industrial land curve trend line. So that's kind of what I was trying to point out earlier, that the blue dots are the actual sales, so what they sold for per square foot. So the dotted blue line that comes through here, this is what we call the trend line. So a lot of sales are underneath the line, very few sales fall right on the line, and a lot of sales are above the line. So the sales above the line, they sold for much more than the estimated assessed value that we're assigning to it. And then all the dots below the line, those sold for less than the assessed values that were assigned to it. So this trend line is doing its best to treat everyone fairly, to kind of try to fit everyone into what maybe the middle ground or the most likely selling price at each of these square footage points.
So the trend line takes into account the location, because some of the locations are much more desirable than East Pasco.
Right, but these comparable sales are the ones that I've included, and so those are the maps on pages, I believe it's 14. Yeah, 14 and 15. So they are all East Pasco.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and all, almost all of them are to the west of East Pasco, 395. So even though some of them are above I-82, they're still the east side, and then down below the freeway. A lot of them are even south of the east.
Would you say the King City truck stop area is a more desirable area than the parcel for the values?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily, no. Industrial zone ground is something that is pretty strong. If you look at the trend line, the dots above the line and below the line were located in both areas. So industrial ground was selling in a pretty even pattern, not depending on location. Some of these were the truck stops and some of these were the truck stops. So we did feel that the market indicated that it could be combined as one market area.
Maybe at some point in the future, could I get a list of which dots are clear?
You have them here on this. These sales are the ones plotted on the trend line. So these are all the industrial zone parcels on the east side. The locations are on the map on pages 14 and 15, so the parcel numbers are on here. Some of them are hard to read, but you can use our website if you want to find one without trying to find it on here. You just plug the number in the map sifter, and it makes it a little easier.
All right, thank you.
Any first questions from the board?
No.
Please go.
So, Mr. Knopf, do you So what value did you use then for your, you developed a land value of
163.90?
That's on the 1.74
acres.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it
actually was.
So you used actually one of the,
He's one of the lesser valued ones, and quite honest, I said a little bit lower than what I thought it might be, because if they're negotiating, you never want to give you the best.
Right.
Right.
So I think it's probably 90-some cents instead of $1.04.
So looking at, you have a map in your evidence here.
That's the 4.6.
Yes. Yeah. So you show, you have, looks like you have four properties circled.
He's on his page right here, Mr. Knopf.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so you have, it looks like you have four properties circled.
Yes.
And those are the ones that you took into account as helping you develop your own estimate?
I pointed to those, the ones that are about closest to where we were at. And yet I could have arguments for a couple of them.
Okay.
That, like, ones on, in terms of on the location that they are.
Which one is the subject property on this?
It's not subject. It is right here.
It's right there.
So one of the ones that said comp, for example, over left was commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that that is a subject more, so I figured that that really was not one that should be compared to. And even then, that's a more level, plus or minus than the property that I have, the overall of our properties. The one out there in Commercial Avenue, so Glover had visibility, that's very easily seen from the interstate, as well as in Commercial Avenue. It's a great, easy place to get off with for guys with their trucks to get fuel and to get service and then get back on the road.
Mm-hmm.
The one above that is 80 cents per square foot. Again, it's on Commercial Avenue. In my opinion, it's more visible than the affected property, because you can see it from the interstate very easily. The 104, again, is across the freeway on the north side. These are, for the most part, within a mile of those affected properties. So
how did you come to select these particular ones?
Because I was looking around that ones that I thought were within a certain radius of the property, that were like neighbors, because thinking the neighbor, people in that neighborhood should be similar values, if they're the similar properties. So I'm trying to look at the differences in the properties.
So those are ones that, so you drove around and you looked to get a visual look and see that they were somewhat similar.
Google Earth, and I looked at them and driving around in them as well. As
okay. All right. So after you picked these properties, you went back to look at their recent sale, how close they were to
two of them, yeah.
Because one of them shows up on yours, Nikki. I see that. The one that's over by the
the $1.04.
Yeah.
And
these are the ones that came on the commercial land sales map that came to me initially from Nikki's office. And so that's where I had access to these.
Yeah, we had published a map of both commercial and industrial sales, and they're color coded. You can see the shades are different. So they're color coded at price per square foot. So for the subject maps that I included, I removed all commercial sales and only looked at industrial parcels.
So what's the difference between commercial and industrial?
There's all sorts of different goals for what's allowed.
Okay.
Are you going to be looking to make possibly an adjustment on this one like you made on the first one? Is there something
that any that are accepted by the lift station being required, or this one doesn't have the same size or shape of issues, it's not as narrow. It's already been developed industrial, it's already being used industrially.
Mm-hmm.
So it obviously wasn't affected it's able to be used to the intended use for industrial properties without it. So.
So do you have, Nikki, do you have any idea, like, sort of what sort of percentage increase you could give on an annual basis then after you've done your six-year look, in-depth look?
We are only required to look at 100% of market value.
Okay.
On page 3.
So if we accidentally had no value on it for a year, or we had $10 on it, and it was an error, and the value is supposed to be $15 million, and we catch it, we're required to put it at market value. We can't look at the percentage increase or the overall tax burden that might come to the taxpayer.
Well, right. I'm just saying, is you have an idea of how fast properties are appreciating mm-hmm. per year. You've told us before, it looks like it's, you know, in certain areas, it's like 1% a month.
Right.
Do you have any estimate based on your, after you've done an in-depth look here, what sort of appreciation rate per year you are seeing?
Right now it's about the same, but that doesn't mean, I think what you're asking is, are we looking at more increases for this area again in the near future? We don't have the manpower to look at them as in depth as we have this year.
Mm-hmm.
So what we'll do in the next 5 years is exactly what you're saying. We'll rerun this ratio report
mm-hmm.
and we'll add in the new sales. So we'll just look at sales that have happened in 2018 and maybe a little bit of 2017. Say, okay, so for the really recent sales, where are our assessed values? So if we find that we're overall 10% low, we'll just do an economic trend adjustment,
mm-hmm.
just put everybody up 10% for land values. So for the next 5 years, that's how we're going to try to keep up. And maybe that'll only be 5% since we were just in this area.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to say. We're going to look at the sales that have happened in 2018.
Okay.
Looking at page 13. We have a value of $1.62 per square foot of this subject. That's the total. That's of the piece of property.
That's right? The subject parcel.
Okay. Then on page 18 at the top, those values in the far right hand column of $28 and $2 and $21. That's just the buildings itself. Is that correct?
Correct. Page 13 is land.
No. It's land.
Page 18 is the buildings.
Okay, so down at the bottom, an average of $51 is for everything lumped together.
$51 a square foot is what? Just the buildings.
Just the buildings, right.
And the
right.
Commercial utility buildings that are included in that list.
Okay.
So just the buildings.
Okay. Okay.
Land removed using our assessed values.
Okay. Land removed, yeah. Okay. Okay, any other questions?
No.
Okay. All right, this concludes addition B2018-14 for parcel 1137-80062. And the time is 9:43. We will begin the next petition, which is BE2018-44 for parcel 1137-80099.
Go ahead.
Okay, so on this parcel, it's 0.26 of an acre. As you look on the map, it's a triangle shape. And I don't know how it got. It's like it got zoned as commercial, otherwise it was just industrial. And so that increases the valuation on this field. I know that in terms of $26,000 for that, I myself in the heart of $26,000, so $25,000 alone, I guess, is definitely the valuation. It seems very high to me. Given the regular size and the shape, I think people can make very applied at the discount to that 40% gas, which probably is the most you can do. So part of the stem is the snag is probably the stone commercial instead of industrial. We can't change that big today, but I think it's too high. It's my bottom line. So I've had somebody offer me $80 a month to lease it and then back out, but you know, that's like almost nothing. So I don't think you start working and say, okay, the tax money is just going to be out. So, so $2.22 a square foot. That's it. And,
okay, go ahead, Nikki.
Okay, so it is 0.26 of an acre, so C1 retail business and C in Tesco. And I will jump to page 5, which indicates that it is the triangle piece located at the corner of Lewis Place and the interior door street. There is a zoning map that's provided to us by the city of Pasco, so we don't apply, you know, we don't decide the zoning, just apply the current value for what it is zoning. So I've included the statistic page again from page 6 that indicates that commercial and industrial properties are 96% of what it's on for. Page 7, this is your complicated and different from the other parcels, as this is the only subject parcel it is zoned, C1. So other commercial properties were looked at for comparables rather than industrial. And the subject is zone C1, which is usually a higher dollar per square foot than a C2 or a C3. The only parcels in the proximity that I felt were comparable were the C3, a little bit lesser zoning. So those were included, and I only put in the ones that I thought were relevant to the size. So they range from 0.27 of an acre to 0.84 of an acre. Their average selling price between 2015 and 2017 was $2.39 a square foot. Some of the comparable properties also have you know, size or shape issues. So the top two, one was a very narrow strip of what's been combined with another parcel, as this one probably would be if it sold. It would probably sell a few of the others combined. So this is what happened with the two top sales at $2.98 a square foot and $2.44 a square foot. The top one was a narrow strip and the other one was a little triangle. After they sold, they were all combined and now they're just parts of a larger piece. The fourth sale at $1.15 a square foot, I left it in there even though it has absolutely no access. It's a secondary lot and it has no visibility from the freeway. The fourth sale at $1.01 a square foot, it has no hard surface access and no freeway from the visibility, freeway visibility. And then the second to the last sale there, that was two parcels, it's way more per square foot. It also suffers from the pie-shaped, you know, the shape influence, but it is on Oregon, so it's on a main arterial. You'd expect it to be a little higher. And then the last sale there, it's a little larger, so you'd expect it to be less per square foot. It's off of Oregon and has no freeway visibility. So overall, if we take them all into consideration, still the average is higher than the subject's value. Just valuing it on the commercial trend line, the subject's value was 40% higher. We did put a shape adjustment of -40% on it already, and that's for the $2.22. You can look at page 8, which is a map of some of the comparable sales, and then the trend line is on page 8.
So page 9 looks like it has a real outlier.
It does. We take all commercial property and put it on a trend line for this part of town, and one of them's right on 4th Street, so it's the tall outlier. But we didn't remove any of them, so the ones that didn't have any access, the ones that are, you know, pie shaped and completely unbuildable according to city code. You left them all on there, so they're all playing their part to influence the overall development.
So that outlier really pulls the curve up.
Yeah.
What was that outlier? You said it was on Court Street? Is it shown on any maps on your?
No. The trend line is the trend line that was set for the entire inspection area of all commercially zoned properties from C1, C2, or C3. And this is the overall trend line. So all parcels were treated equally unless they had a reason to have an influence factor. So if it's on the main arterial, it's going to be valued higher than the trend line.
If it doesn't have access, we're going to knock it down from the trend line. Looking at page 8, the subject is way over on the right hand side of 222 a square foot. Not all the comparables listed on page 7 are on this page 8 map. But the ones I found, okay, pardon? I don't, unless there's something not.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Unless it's. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I think that the two that are up in the top left corner, the 44 and 39, there's another one
I just couldn't make it show. Okay, overlapping, so we can't cram those numbers. We'll smaller, so we can't have them at all. No, I had to get my magnifying glass out. Yeah, but anyway, I have to work with the resources available to me. Just sometimes very frustrating. My best. Okay, these comps are like the one. They're like $1 per square foot. I'm looking at the square foot price versus, but where are these in relation to the subject? I can't. The subject is down here on Lewis Street, and these are way west, right? These comps are west of the subject.
Yes, they would be
correct.
Yeah. Northwest.
So they're way up.
9 blocks.
Yeah, I was going to say what, mile and a half. That far? Okay.
So basically, there's no visibility to the freeway, is that correct?
Correct. None of them have visibility.
Mm. Whereas the subject does have some visibility to the freeway?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
Not in that location.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what she's written it down here. It says no freeway visibility.
Okay. Okay.
So the value per square foot then was determined from your this commercial land curve?
That's where it started, and then the size of government was applied at -40% from the
point. Okay. And that's -40% of the total value that's originally determined?
Correct. Yeah, the trend line indicated a value, and then we just scraped 40% off.
And Mr. Knopp, you based your $6,800 value on, what did you base that on?
These two have visibility from 395.
No.
We're dealing with 99, right?
I think that's $2.21.
No.
So I guess I value that at 60 cents.
60 cents is square foot.
Yes. That closer to the value of the second.
Oh.
I think if you look at the dollar one, if you did a 40% discount on that, that would be 60 cents. But the dollar one is already a parcel that's influenced by not having access.
Oh, the value before was $2,800. Okay.
So the value reduction wasn't, that wasn't based on access, that was based on limitability or developability because of the shape. And Nikki, on your table on page 7, do you ever look at the ratios for each property? Your assessment ratios for each property?
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's what's overall listed on page 6. So our ratios for commercially zoned land in this area.
Right, but
not just in the proximity, but in the area.
But that's for all the sales?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was 56 sales. Looking at your table here on page 7, just in the future, maybe we can see the individual ratios for each of these. Because I know when you look at your distribution of ratios, we're only looking at the mean, so that means that you've got ratios that go to the right, go to the left.
Absolutely.
So some that are your ratio is overrated and then underrated.
Yeah, and those are indicated on the trend line. You can see that there are quite a few that fall above the line, but a lot that fall below the line.
Right. And I'm just looking at that kind of a bell curve there. And I'd just be interested to see, what I'm more interested to see is where do the pieces you have, the properties that you select as comparables, where do they fall on this upper graph? Are they falling mostly to the top, or are they falling to the bottom? Which may give us a little bit better understanding of the estimate that you're developing.
That's kind of true.
That's
kind of true of everything that we do here.
So that is true. Yes, no, I agree. I agree.
Total, and that is very deceptive.
I agree. That's the reason, I mean, median is nice, but it doesn't give you the full picture.
You're getting the total sales.
If the spread weren't as far.
That's right.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't think I have any other
questions. No,
thank you, Mr. Knopf, for coming in.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for
having
me. Appreciate it. Okay, this concludes petition 2018-44 for parcel 11378-0099. Again, all of these petitions are owned by taxpayer Glenn and Carol Knopf, and it is 9:58, and we will recess for the board to review and make their decisions. Thank you.
So, Mr. Knopf, if you had time this morning, I'd go straight over.
Okay, we are resuming. With the petitions, Linda Mays, the chairman, will state the decisions.
We heard four hearings today. The first one is regarding BE 2018-38, parcel number 11375040. Petitioner's name, Glenn and Carol Knopf. The board decided to sustain the assessor's value of $62,900 based on the petitioner's acceptance of the value. The second one, BE2018-39, parcel number 113771037, petitioners Glenn and Carol Knopp, Mr. Knopp, appeared for the petitioner. The board decided to reduce the assessor's value from $147,300 to $78,800. The value of the land will be reduced to $78,800. The board's decision is based on the following reasons. The decision of the board is due to unique features of the land, specifically based on the division of the property by the easement, comma, the low-lying land and narrow width compared to its length, which limits its saleability. The third hearing, BE2018-43, parcel number 113780062, petitioner's name, Glenn and Carol Knopp. Again, Mr. Knopp appeared for the petitioner. The board decided to reduce the assessor's value from $396,000 to $336,000. The value of the land will be reduced to $271,100, and the value of the improvements will be sustained at $64,900. The board's decision is based on the following reasons. Is based on information on sales of comparable properties The last one is BE2018-44, parcel number 113780099. Again, the petitioner's name is Glenn and Carol Knopp, and Mr. Knopp appeared for the petitioner. The board decided to sustain the assessor's value of $25,100 and is based on the following reason. The criterion for the board decision is 100% of market value. The decision of the board recognizes that the assessed value does not exceed the market value. This meeting is now adjourned.